Have you given thought to the difference or similarities between complacency and resignation? Now, these are killers in your life, both personally and professionally, right? Think about it. What is complacency? Well, complacency basically means like, well, you know, I'll just, it's cool. Nothing's, you know, nothing bad, nothing good, you know, right? In the Bible, though, what was the, want to look it up? You are neither hot nor cold, so I spit you out, right? Complacency is when we just sort of go, meh, all right, it's okay. I'm just coasting, sailing along, not pushing too hard, but not really kind of getting ahead, not falling too far behind. And the problem with complacency is while you and I may find an area of our life that we're complacent in, let's say relationship. If you're complacent in a relationship, you're thinking everything's cool, everything's fine, don't rock the boat. We don't want to, you know, necessarily go too far because, oh, I know some people have thought, oh, if I do this, then I'll be held to that standard, right? If I push too hard, if I go that extra mile, then that will be what's expected. So the attitude of complacency can sometimes come in when we are not wanting to push too hard to be held to a higher standard. If you remember the movie Big, when Tom Hanks' character, he first gets a job at the toy store and he works with computers and he's plugging away. He's going nuts. He's like, yeah, okay. And he's going to the next one and then the next one. And John Lovitz, the character who is working next to him, looks over and is like, what are you doing? Like, slow down. Don't, you know, don't go so fast. Don't get so much done. Don't be so productive, because if you are, then what's going to happen? They're holding, then I have to hit that same standard. So that can happen professionally. Maybe you know someone intimately who maybe has opportunities to push a little harder, but you know what? I just punch the clock, right? I clock in and clock out. Don't go in early. Don't stay late. Don't go the extra mile. Don't take that extra gig, right? Because if I say yes, I'll do it. Next thing you know, that becomes my new responsibility, right? So we just kind of stay complacent. We just keep going. And what happens is it actually, neurologically speaking, starts putting the neural pathways deep into doing not much. Now, the challenge with that, as you can imagine, is there are people in the world who do not live complacently, and then they go, go, go. They push. They're willing to do whatever it takes. They go the extra mile. So, in fact, if you and I were to be living complacently, we're actually falling behind, whether we realize it or not. Now, we could use an intimate relationship. Let's say you're in an intimate relationship and you're not going the extra mile. And maybe you're not wed. Maybe you're not bound to that degree. Maybe you're dating. But you're with this person and you're just sort of letting it go. You're just keeping it complacent. You're not doing those extra things. You're not going the extra mile. You're not getting more vulnerable. You're not asking deeper questions. And then the person you're dating is hanging out and someone else starts showing a little more interest. They start asking those questions. They start digging in deeper. And then what happens? The relationship starts to fall apart. It starts to get distant. Why? Because you were just complacent. You were just kind of doing your thing. Where else does that show up? It shows up in almost everything, right? Because how you do anything is how you do everything. So imagine this. I don't know, something's just happening in the world. Maybe in your town, maybe in your city, you just, you know, see it's dirty. You see things just kind of there and you say, you know, whatever. It's, you know, it's dirty, whatever. It's not my job to pick it up. It's not my job to clean. You know, it's not my gig. And we just accept it. It becomes tolerant. We tolerate it. And then over time, what does complacency become? Over time, it becomes resignation. Now we're just resigned to the fact it's always the way it's going to be. Well, what you going to do, right? Oh, my old ball and chain, right? And then it's just you accept it, but now you're accepting it, but you're not happy about it. You're resigned to that's the way it is. And then we throw up our hands and now it's a negative. Like complacency is almost a positive. It's not really so much of a negative, but resignation is negative. Like that's the way it is. What are you going to do? Yeah, they were always a jerk, always the case. My boss has always been that way. This company's always been that way. My girlfriend, my boyfriend, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my friend, whatever, always been, whatever. What are you going to do? Can't change them. And then I wonder if perhaps if we get to that state of resignation, we then get into if you can't beat them, join them. Where we now go, well, you know, there's nothing I can do, so I might as well just get on board. Because now we're resigned to the fact so much so that we give up on ourselves. We give up on our values. It chips away at our values, right? So complacency is nickel and diming it. So is resignation. But now we're doing it resentfully. Now we're just giving up because we don't have the energy anymore. Why? Again, because those neural pathways have been etched in. It's just the way it is. And this shows up professionally. It shows up personally. It shows up in our weight, in our health. Remember, how we do anything is how we do everything. So what do we do about it? So you go, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. I can see that happen. And, you know, maybe not in, you know, your life, of course, but you know, people that this sort of shows up, whether it be complacency or resignation. So what do we do? Well, step one, awareness, right? Awareness is key. If we don't know, then, well, we can't do anything about it. So once we have awareness, then we want to step back and go, okay, wait a minute, interrupt that pattern. That's not necessarily, you know, kind of what I want here. So then I go, well, what do I want? Think about it. What is it that you want for your life? How do you want to show up? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be thought of? What is going to be your legacy? Do you want to be remembered as someone who took a stand, someone who did whatever it took, someone who lived, gave, and loved with passion? Or did you want to be remembered as a meh, or what you going to do? It's always right. And then we end up complaining. Do you want to be remembered as someone who did something about the world to change it? And by the way, whose world must you change before you change the rest of the world? We have to first change our own. Now, here's what's interesting. When you do change your perspective, when you step back, you get awareness, you're like, okay, not really cool about this. And then you ask yourself, well, what do I want? How do I want to show up? How do I want to be remembered? How do I want this world to be, my world to be? Because what's the old saying, right? Getting angry about stuff is like taking poison yourself and expecting someone else to suffer from it. So what can we do right now to change our relationship with whatever is going on? And sometimes it is to take a stand and recognize something that we may or may not sort of like. But when you take that stand, when you change, when you are no longer complacent or resigned, you actually take a stand. Other people in your world who have been complacent or resigned are going to be shocked. They're going to be like, what's going on? You used to buy my BS. You used to sit and commiserate with me in our complacency or our resignation. Now, is that okay? Well, only you can decide. What's more important? How you show up, how you represent your maker, your creator, your God, whatever that language is for you, how you show up for your family, how you show up for your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your brother, your sister, your friends, your business. That's up to you. It's not a judgment call. It's your personal observation. And is it congruent with the way you want to be remembered? What is going to be your legacy? Are you going to be remembered as someone who took a stand in life, who did whatever it took, got vulnerable maybe said something, maybe did something that was outside of what your norm was because your norm was complacency or resignation, and maybe you go that extra mile, maybe you appreciate even more, maybe you understand even more deeply. Maybe you take the time to learn. If you're a business owner and you've allowed yourself to be complacent or resigned in the whatever's been going on, and then you take a minute, you stop, you go, you know, hold on, let me do some investigating. Let me look into my company. Let me actually poll them. Maybe I'll put out a poll and find out, get a pulse on how the company's feeling. Or if you're a leader, do that in your organization, your team, or maybe in your personal life, in your family life. If you're looking at your relationship and you're wondering, where'd the passion go? Was I complacent? And now I've just gotten resigned. What are you going to do? Is what it is. Or are you willing to get uncomfortable? Maybe go that extra mile. Maybe listen. Follow through with maybe listen to what your partner needs and deliver. Even though it might be awkward and uncomfortable at first. Let me ask you, which is better? That pain, that discomfort you might feel, like when you work out. There's an old cliche, right? Where do you get the most growth? The first rep or the 10th, all right? And everyone goes 10. Like, no, the 12th, the 15th, right? When it really stretches, right? And then you feel that burn, right? Why? Because you know when that happens, when you're sore after you work out, that you're growing. Well, not to use a cheesy cliche, but the truth is that sometimes in our business or our intimate relationships, when I say intimate, I don't just mean intimate, like, woo. I'm also maybe intimate with your children or your parents or your brother and sister or with one of your closest friends where you could share something and get vulnerable and get uncomfortable and then notice how cathartic that is. And even though at the time when you shared it may be uncomfortable, it may be awkward, the relationship gets stronger. Maybe it's your relationship with your maker. Have we ever gotten complacent, just taking for granted all the blessings we have? Or gotten resigned? That's the way it's going to be. It's never going to change. And that's starting getting bitter and resentful. Seeing other people being successful or having what they maybe want in their life and you don't have what you want, or maybe you want what they have, which is not necessarily, that's another video. But this is all food for thought. So the first thing we could do is interrupt that pattern and go, ooh, let me just take a step back. Do I want to feel this way? Is this how I want my life to be? Am I being complacent or resigned to things are just the way they are? I am just the way I am. Or are you willing to ask a more powerful and profound question? How do I want to be? Who do I want to be? You know, let's leave with this final thought. And this is just a sort of a riff at the moment, just thinking about this idea of the complacency and resignation. At a moment, some of you, if you know who I am, hi, I'm Doug. Nice to meet you. If you've been listening to The Real Deal, and this is an opportunity where I do a lot of interviews and I interview really successful people and learn what makes them tick and how they've overcome obstacles and so forth. So if you haven't already gotten on board with that, you know, go for it. And on my journey, one of my oldest and deepest mentors, Tony Robbins. I was blessed to work with Tony. I was on the road with him for about 4 years as a national speaker, senior peak performance strategist, and as a master practitioner and trainer of NLP. I've been really focused on learning how people think, learning how people learn, how they grow, how they contribute, how they become more. And in that process, I remember, and this is the final thought, I remember being at an event with Tony, and I had a moment, cathartic moment, perhaps, where I got to question my relationship with God. And I don't know what your belief system is on God, what your relationship is with God. And I'm not here to tell you how or what it should be. I'm just going to share mine for whatever that's worth. And there's an old saying where we were told we were made in the image of our maker. Right? We're made in God's image. And that resonated with me, because I figure, you know, the whole metaphor, you know, again, if you're going into the old Christian and Jesus talked about God the Father, right? And the relationship with the otherness, with the universe, with God, with the undefinable, personified in a way that you and I can understand. And that may or may not be the physical attributes, but it probably is more about the spiritual, about how we show up, about our personality, right? The idea of a soul. And again, whatever you believe, I think you can appreciate, even if you disagree with me, that people do have this conversation around the God the Father and Jesus representing as the Son and the relationship right there, and then how we could have that. And then how we sometimes talk to each other, hey, brother, that's what I like to say, brother. And you know, I don't really say, hey, sister to girls. Maybe I should, but I digress. And I realized in this moment when the conversation around being made in our Father's image, and it occurred to me that I said, man, if that's true, and I'm dishonoring my maker, my creator, by playing small, that it's really my responsibility to live, give, and love as much as humanly possible, to add as much value. And then as a father now, myself, and Heidi and I have our daughter, is how do we want to celebrate her? Right? Don't we want our children to be their absolute best, and even to maybe be more than we have been, that we try to be our best version of ourselves, to be exemplars of possibility for our children? And if you don't have children, you can still be that exemplar of possibility for other people. You could mentor, you could add value in so many other ways. And many people do. They write books. They've got now technology here. They've got their podcast. They've got their YouTube channel. They've got their information that they're sharing, and how vital that is. And how sharing your information, if you're doing so, you're very likely not living a life of complacency or resignation, that you're deciding to do something about it. And where does it start? It starts at home. It starts with ourselves. It starts with us making a commitment to not be complacent or resigned to anything, and being willing to step up to do whatever it takes to lead by example. And I guess you could call that transformational leadership, or I'd like to call it translightened leadership. TM. Translightenment, right? Transformed and enlightened. That we are shining our light, that we are encouraging others to shine their light, right? Translightenment leadership is actually putting your focus into helping others shine their light even brighter than yours. And if you're willing to do that, you are definitely not complacent. You are definitely not resigned. That you are living, giving, and loving like your Father. If that makes sense. God bless you. I love you for who you are and who you aren't. And please, let's stay in touch. If this was groovy, if this was helpful, subscribe, like, share, all that good stuff. And I'd love to have a conversation with you. So please feel free and comment, and let's get to know each other so I can know what's going on in your world. And if I could help you celebrate it even more, if I could help you grow it even more, if I could help you shine even brighter, it is my absolute privilege and purpose. All right. God bless.